Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
A very good afternoon to you, and the big news this afternoon is that the empire has fallen. It's goodbye to you, Martin O'Neill. It's goodbye to you, Roy Keane. The bad cop and the bad, bad cop have handed in their badges.
With Lee and me tonight, we have the new Republic of Ireland management team. Congratulations. Martin, the question on everyone's lips, why choose Roy to work with?
I've asked myself that many a time in the last couple of the last 48 hours, but he's coming with me. Personally speaking, I think he'll be great for me, but more importantly, he'll be great for the Republic of Ireland.
Roy?
No, fantastic news. Delighted, obviously, honoured that Martin's asked me to go and help him with the team. Very excited. I mightn't look it, but I am. And looking forward to working with the players and trying to get to the Euros.
It's a yin and yang. I don't know who's yin and who's yang, but it's a marriage made in heaven, possibly.
Well, I think I'm the bad cop, and I think he's the bad, bad cop. But, I think we're excited by it. It looks as if we've got something to go and do to go with. I'm looking forward to it greatly.
Yeah, remember that. Much happier times. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the departure of Martin O'Neill this afternoon. You can tweet us at Off the Ball. You can comment on the stream if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube. Nathan Murphy is with us on Skype. We'll get to him in just a moment. Tommy and Darren Cleary are with us in studio. Lads, is it a happy moment for you? Is it a sad moment for you?
It's a funny one, isn't it? We all expected it to happen.
Yeah.
It should have happened before this.
It should have happened before this?
Yeah, it should have happened before this.
When?
It should have happened around the Denmark game last year. We're getting straight into
that. That would be very harsh, Tommy.
The Stoke rumours. That's when the problem started.
But it was a desperate 2018, and we're going to get to that in a moment. We've got a bit of a mini montage done up of all the key moments throughout it. But Tommy, you were at the very first Martin O'Neill press conference, and you tweeted us, I think, a little bit earlier on. Yeah. You were a big Martin O'Neill fan.
Oh, massive. Like, my working Off the Ball is run in conjunction with the Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane era.
So you're getting sacked.
For me, yeah, am I going to get sacked as well? my first gig was heading over to the first press conference. And now, maybe it's because I was young and impressionable, but I thought he came across so well back then. And I don't know whether it's just that it's worn off over the years, but I remember being so excited when we kicked off with O'Neill and Keane. I was at the last year game, we won 3-0. I know the football mightn't have been great in that game itself, but like, you know, hope was there. And that's what we had. We had hope.
Yeah, he was a shiny new manager at the time. Darren, you've got the statement from Martin O'Neill this afternoon. From the FAI.
It's from the FAI. It says, Martin O'Neill steps down as manager after 5 years. The board of the Football Association of Ireland have mutually agreed with Martin O'Neill to part company. O'Neill, who was first appointed to the position on November 5th, 2013, most recently led the Republic of Ireland team to a draw away to Denmark in the final game of the new UEFA Nations League. The management team of Roy Keane, assistant manager Seamus McDonough, goalkeeping coach, and Steve Guppy, assistant coach, have also parted company with the FAI. It appears Steve Walford left before today.
Personal reasons, I think.
O'Neill oversaw 55 games for Ireland during a 5-year period and enjoyed unforgettable wins over world champions Germany, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Italy, Austria and Wales. He ran the best Euros campaign in Ireland's history and followed that by making it out of a tough group to reach the playoffs of the 2018 FIFA World Cup. He used 65 players in that time, the FAI say, giving 28 of them the first senior caps. I'm just going to bring you a quote from the FAI Chief Executive John Delaney, who is paying tribute to O'Neill by saying, "I'd like to thank Martin, Roy and the management team for the impact they had with the Ireland team. There have been, many highlights during Martin's reign, none more so than Euro 2016 in France, which may live long in the memory of all Irish supporters. Martin did a great job guiding the team out of a difficult qualifying group where we beat the world champions Germany along the way to reach Euro 2016 and advance to the last 16 following an historic victory over Italy and Lille. I wish Martin and the management team the very best for the future." The telling point of this entire statement is it completely ignores the last 12 months in Irish football, which has seen one win in 9 games, one win in 10 of you disclude this calendar year stuff. It's been pretty grim.
Yeah, it certainly has been. We've got a couple of Twitter polls up, by the way, at Off the Ball on Twitter. We're asking you, was it the right decision? There's one-way traffic on that particular poll at the moment. We're asking you for your highlights. We're asking you for your low points from the Martin O'Neill era. And we're also asking you to suggest who the next manager might be. Let's just get a quick few highlights and lowlights from you guys at the moment. Let's start with the lowlights there so that we can end on a sweeter note. So I'm guessing it's something from the last 12 months. Darren, you first.
0-0 against Northern Ireland, I think, is one that it just was really difficult to take because it went exactly as we thought it would. We knew it would be a grim night. We knew it would be tough to watch, but it was much worse to be so comprehensively outplayed by a team that you would think you were on par with or above. to need our goalkeeper to get man of the match to keep us out of Dodge, otherwise we would have lost 2 or 3 nil at home. The fact that we didn't seem to have that zip that we had in the early O'Neill years. Like, I used to associate O'Neill teams, the Aston Villa, the Celtics, with high energy, high press. They would get in the faces of the opposition from very early on. And O'Neill, in the start of his reign, there was a little bit about that. There was that excitement, that buoyancy that comes with the new manager. And they had that in a number of huge games, which we saw against Germany, we saw against Italy.
Is Germany or Italy your highlight? I presume it's one or the other.
Robbie Brady. I remember being Italy. In the box for that.
Yeah, it's Italy for me as well. What's your lowlight?
My lowlight? From a purely personal and selfish point of view, that loss to Denmark last year. Owen, imagine we had OTBAM and the World Cup was around. Imagine the form we would have had.
To be fair, we wouldn't have had John Duggan on a solo travel around Russia. So that was the one positive of that.
That's where it started going wrong. Isn't that where it started going wrong, Connie? Yeah. It's just from there. It's the next few months. Like, Nathan is going to join us in a few minutes and he's followed them throughout the last couple of years. And obviously, it's those few months after that.
Well, let's hear from the man himself. Nathan Murphy, a very good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, lads.
What are you feeling right now?
I'm a little bit surprised in a way, because certainly when I was leaving Aarhus yesterday morning, there was no great sense that this was on the horizon, that the FAI would sort of just trundle along until the Euro 2020 qualifiers, that there was nothing really happening behind the scenes that we were going to, within 24 hours, see Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane leave their job. So while I'm surprised, I think it is, without question, the right decision. The talking point for the last probably 6 months had been whether or not they could afford to let him go. My view was that they couldn't afford not to let Martin O'Neill go because of the importance of qualifying for Euro 2020, which is probably the biggest sporting event that's ever going to take place in this country.
Oh, we seem to have lost Nathan Murphy there. We'll reestablish connection very shortly. So it is obviously a big financial commitment to get rid of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane at the moment, which I was just going to ask him about, and I will ask you about that now, Nathan. Sorry to go straight into the sort of nitty gritty of this, but the numbers doing the rounds in the papers this week have been £4 million. So that was probably the big decision that the FAI had to make this week as to whether or not it's worth it. But as you rightly point out there, it's the reputational risk that's almost bigger than the financial risk of keeping the two lads in tow.
Well, I think it's both. I think you cannot ignore the financial risk of not qualifying.
Sure.
Qualifying for Euro 2020, a guaranteed €9.75 million. You're talking €1.5 million for every match you win. And again, we'll have two games at the Aviva Stadium. So you'd fancy yourself to actually go and get a couple of results. It's a huge cash cow. And also then there's the prestige for the FAI and for John Delaney in particular of bringing this tournament to Ireland, of being able to stand there with the Republic of Ireland playing home games at his stadium that there have been so many questions about. From a purely egotistical point of view, that has to be important. And the results have just been so dire, and there's no sign of it getting any better. In fact, it's getting progressively worse. Do they have somebody lined up? I'm not quite sure, but listen, Stephen Kenny is the obvious name that's going to be thrown out there. There was just no sense for Martin O'Neill over the last 3-4 months throughout this Nations League campaign that he had that fight in him. He spoke on Monday night about Alex Ferguson saying that enthusiasm is what gets you through this job. And it's me saying he was enthusiastic, but he wasn't showing it. He wasn't inspiring anybody. The Martin O'Neill that we heard about from Gerry Taggart last week at Leicester, that we've heard from all those Celtic and Leicester City players through the years, that would have them running through a brick wall, that's not there anymore. We don't see that. We don't hear that from Irish players. And when he doesn't have that, it's pretty clear as well, he doesn't have the tactical acumen anymore. And on a purely practical level, that the preparation of what these players have come to expect from management teams isn't anywhere near where it should be. So I think there's a lot of things that have gone against Martin O'Neill. Maybe the only thing holding him in his job was the financial aspect of things, but the FAI have obviously decided to cut their losses.
Yeah. Is there a single big moment that you point out as the moment that you started to realise this could lead to the departure of the management team?
Denmark 5-1 last year. I felt that should have been the end straight away. That was our, without question, our worst defeat in over a decade since Steve Staunton was in charge against Cyprus. It was an unbelievable load. It was utter humiliation at home. So I think that should have been the moment that they should have pulled the plug. This absolute nonsense that went on through January with Stoke and us almost begging him to stay, even though that there was no great desire, certainly from the public, to keep him to stay. That was the moment where they could have just cut the cord quite easily and given a new manager plenty of time to come in and actually use the Nations League as Not a breeding ground, but because there were competitive games. But certainly they would have learned a lot, I'd imagine, from these four games. And even still, there is plenty of time.
Nathan, I remember you speaking to Martin O'Neill a good bit around that time in January. Did you get a sense from him at the time that he wanted to stay? Like, what was he playing
at?
He
did want to stay. Tommy, if he didn't want to stay, he would have left. He had a chance to go to Stoke. He had a chance to become a Premier League manager, which, listen, people won't agree with this. I think being a Premier League manager is a better job than being the Republic of Ireland manager. It's one of the reasons why I don't see it as a chance in hell of Chris Hughton wanting to take this role, because he's got a better gig being in charge of Brighton. I was very surprised that Martin O'Neill, I couldn't fully understand why Martin O'Neill didn't take that job. What we've heard from his side is that he saw something in these young Irish players that he wanted to see it through until Euro 2020. He obviously enjoyed the role. There was obviously enough in it to keep him here that he was turning down the chance to go to Stoke. It seems he turned down overtures from Everton, which was, I know, was a shorter term deal, but also a possibility of going to Leicester for a couple of years. So he clearly did enjoy his time here and obviously wanted to stay. But results and performances this year have just been absolutely shocking. And again, on a purely financial point of view, you could probably make up that 4 million that you pay out pretty quickly if you have 4 or 5 home games next year and there's 25,000 people at them, or there's 50,000 people at them. And if you get a bit of momentum with a new manager, that stadium will be a sellout for those European Championship qualifiers, and they'll make the money back pretty quickly, I think. And then, as I said, the 10 million that's pretty much guaranteed for qualifying for Euro 2020, you throw into the mix the commercial benefits of having a European Championship final in Dublin. In a way, I just think it was a no-brainer to make the move now. It's whether they have the options that they want to replace Martin O'Neill.
Nathan, is Roy Keane the big loser? I mean, it seems to have torpedoed any chance he'll have of ever managing Ireland.
It seems that way, because it's not that long ago that it felt as though it was a done deal that Martin O'Neill would lead us into 2020 and there'd be a nice little step aside and Roy Keane would come in. Roy Keane's still a very young man. He can go back and rebuild his career. Listen, a decade ago, if you'd said that Roy Keane would be Ireland assistant manager, you'd be laughed out of the place. 5 years ago, you would have been laughed out of the place. So who knows where Roy goes from here? I think his reputation has taken a massive hit, but you read all the English papers today and O'Neill and Keane have done a very good job of keeping journalists on that side of the water very sweet, playing down constantly the talent that we have available, that they are doing the best possible job here. And maybe Premier League chairman or Championship chairman is more likely the case, are reading that and are believing it. And look at Roy Keane and think he's the type of personality we want. Because the one thing, when you think back to Roy Keane's time at Sunderland and Ipswich, Sky Sports News turned up there every single Friday morning for his press conference. That's the sort of publicity the Championship clubs struggle to buy. So Roy may well get a job, but I don't think it'll be based on what he's done here with the Irish team.
Mick McCarthy is currently favourite to be the next Ireland manager. Stephen Kenny's second favourite. Sam Allardyce, third favourite. Then you've got Paul Cook, former Sligo Rovers, current Wigan Athletic manager, fourth favourite. Then you've got Brian Kerr, Steve Bruce. And then if you look down the list, you've got the likes of Neil Lennon, Sven Goran Eriksson, Damien Duff. Nigel Pearson is in the
Big
top
Sam.
Dozen or so. Big Sam is third favourite. Who are you looking at from that list? Are you suspecting something there, Mick McCarthy? Odds on almost actually become the next Republic of Ireland manager.
Well, he's made it clear that he wants the job and he is still out of work, and he's put himself back very much in the public profile over the last few months with his television work. Actually, Neil Lennon, when you mentioned him there, I don't think is the worst possible shout. I think it's a role that may well interest him, and maybe he has a little bit more of a profile than Stephen Kenny, and that may sway the FAI. I think Stephen Kenny has to be the first choice if he's available. He's done absolutely everything right. Mick McCarthy, there's a nice nostalgia factor to it. But again, I just feel it's a step back. It's going back to what was there previously. And we're going to have to go through all this Saipan nonsense again. And what has really changed with the Irish setup since the Genesis report? A fresh voice, a new voice. And Stephen Kenny is that man. I think that this shouldn't be a long process. I think they should approach him, see does he want the job, and give it to him. Because I think he has proven he can work with several groups of players. Because that's the key with what he's done with Dundalk. He's built it up from nothing. And he's lost his best players again and again and again. And he's never really once complained. He's brought in new guys. He's got the very best out of them. And that's what we once had with Ireland. Players came in and played their best football for Ireland. And that's been the most dispiriting thing watching this Irish team over the last 6 months. Players played better for their clubs. than they do when they put on the green jersey. And I think Stephen Kenny is someone who can get that out of them.
What about another potential combination? I mean, like the idea of marrying two forces together clearly doesn't seem that right on like a base level because of what's just happened. But really, you can look at Mick McCarthy, look at all the great Irish managers, potential Irish managers, great former players he's worked with. What about Mick McCarthy and Robbie Keane, Mick McCarthy and Damien Duff? Could that potentially be a ticket?
Listen, anything is possible when it comes to the FAI.
But Bobby Robson came in with Stan, didn't he?
That
could have worked out. probably never going to work out, was it?
That didn't work out.
Listen, these things
it was a potential,
generally
though.
Don't work out. I don't have a problem with that long-term planning issue because remember, the under-21 gig is up for grabs at the moment as well. I wouldn't have a problem if they do decide to go with Mick McCarthy, which I think, as I said, I think Stephen Kenny should be the one they're going for. But if they were to go for Mick McCarthy and said to Damien Duff, we're going to put you in as under-21 manager, or somebody else, Lee Carsley, Stephen Reid, Gary Breen, any of these figures who've out there and have done their coaching work and got their coaching badges and said, like Gareth Southgate has done with England, learn Irish football, get deep-rooted in Irish football, understand every player that's coming through, and in 4 years, this can be your job. Do it that way. Bringing them in as an assistant manager, like Roy Keane was a freak case. What role really does an assistant manager have? You need somebody who's been making the big decisions, I think, who's dropped players, who's been in dressing rooms when it all kicks off. So as a McCarthy with Duff or Keane as an assistant, I don't think so. But if they were to go in the under-21 role with a view to building to the future, that's probably something you could get behind.
Nathan Murphy, thanks a million for your time.
Cheers, lads. Talk later.
Nathan's career has kind of gone exactly the length of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane's career with off the ball as well, so he better be watching out.
He's traveled Europe with them, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. We'd love to hear your comments, as I said. You can tweet us at Off the Ball or comment on the Facebook or YouTube streams. We'll be getting over to Gary Breen very shortly, but just to bring you a couple of the comments. Simon on Twitter says, maybe a slightly more positive attitude on the field, but otherwise more of the same. We're not very good, and the disconnect between domestic, underage and international scenes, new manager is unlikely to change any of that. Kevin, meanwhile, says the last 12 months have been one long low point. Dreary football, tactically inept, people switching off in droves, good riddance. That's in relation to our poll that we've got up on our Twitter account at the moment, what has been the low light of the Martin O'Neill era. Michael Furlong on Facebook says it'll go down as a successful tenure that ran past its sell-by date. It happened with Charlton and also Trapp, and now it's happened with O'Neill. And then a couple of other ones. David Nash says, use players from the League of Ireland that are playing every week. You cannot be successful with players that are picked because they sit on the bench in the Championship. Maybe then the League of Ireland might become more attractive to players. And Gavin on YouTube says, this is a sad day for Irish football. The media have got what they wanted, he says. Let's see how far the team can get without them. Stephen Kenny, give me a break.
Let me tell you the moment I knew Stephen Kenny would be the man I wanted to lead Ireland. It was just after I'd watched a week of O'Neill tell us how limited the players were and how they're not going to get extraordinary results. They're going to do their best to get organised and try to get a goal. But in his programme notes before the last home game of Dundalk season, Stephen Kenny said this: it is important to dispel the current train of thought that it's in the DNA of Irish players to play a more direct style, that somehow being Irish, you are inherently born with a skill deficit. The players have consistently shown their talent, their ability to pass and receive the ball under pressure, and they continue to take risks in possession and open their imaginations to see possibilities.
That's the sort of manager I want managing.
That was the moment I knew Kenny was the man for Ireland, not the guy who moans about the limitations of the players. Don't forget, Owen, the 0-0 draw at Northern Ireland, six of the players that started that started in Italy in Euro 2016. So this whole bull line about the players aren't there, the playing group hasn't changed astronomically in that 2 years. The playing group
lost,
are just
underperforming. They have lost some key players.
Yeah, but six of the starting 11, I mean, that's the majority.
I know.
The core group of players are still there. You've still got Hendrick, you've still got Brady, you've still got the keeper, you've still got Coleman. The most of them are there. The ones you'd want to keep are intact. Yeah. The ones we've lost, the only guy we've lost that I'd prefer if was still there would be Wes. Look, everyone else, Wes
no,
and Murphy.
There's no denying, right, that the last year has been so strange and so weird. But we did have massive moments with O'Neill and Keane.
Yeah.
Like, we bossed Bosnia.
Who would you have as your next Ireland manager?
I don't know. Maybe Stephen Kenny. Maybe just change it up and try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Maybe he'll expand our playing pool. He'll give the likes of Hooban and McElhinney a chance. I don't know if they're good enough, but look at what Northern Ireland are doing with a limited pool.
Exactly. So it's time for experimentation.
Why would Kenny want the job? It's a career killer. It absolutely derailed the career of Brian Kerr.
I'm not sure about that.
Kenny is on track. If he keeps going at this pace and continues to do well, he will eventually get a job at League One or Championship and continue to prove his worth. If he does Ireland for a year, one campaign, it's disastrous. They boot him out, they wreck his reputation. It'll be very hard for him to continue his career.
O'Neill and Keane just stayed 1 year too long. Like, it wouldn't have derailed their careers. They just stayed 1 year too long. It was so good up to that.
But it is going to be very interesting to see what does happen to them next. That is going to be one of our talking points over the next half an hour or so as we round up this special. If you're just joining us, Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane have left their post as managers of the Republic of Ireland, as manager and assistant manager, I should say, of the Republic of Ireland. Gary Breen is standing by to give his take. But before that, here's a reminder of what's been a pretty disastrous calendar year for the FAI and for Martin O'Neill.
I think we all know the events of what transpired over the last week or so. Martin O'Neill came in last night. He's obviously agreed terms with the association. His representatives will be in Dublin on Monday. And prior to the Nations League draw on Wednesday, he will sign a contract for the next number of years.
The most recent re-signing of Martin O'Neill's contract turned into quite a saga over a couple of months. Was that part of the reasoning why maybe there was no rush to tie Martin O'Neill down, that you were getting your hat to get your finances in order?
No, nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Martin had agreed to stay with us, and that was always going to be the case.
I thought that the international football would give me the time to do that sort of bucket list that you're talking about. And because, you know, while you're watching a lot of football matches, you are watching particular players. You're not looking at the end result of a particular game, other than you don't want the players that you'll be picking in the following weeks to be smashed in the game and confidence is low. But I did. I thought it would give you the time to do it, and it hasn't materialised.
You need to figure out another system that at least allows you to create chances. That's been the biggest problem over the past year, that we're not creating any chances. We're not laying siege on lesser opposition's goal. It's the odd set piece here and there. Shane Duffy right now is our best goal threat. It's as simple as that. He is our most likely outlet of getting a goal. This is as low as it has ever been for Irish football. So he just needs to do something. He needs to try and find some sort of a spark from somewhere.
Start with the star, because it is the most striking headline this morning. Marty's over, says the headline. FAI want deal with O'Neill before Euros draw. Now, Paul Lennon is actually saying here that Martin O'Neill's exit as Ireland manager is going to be finalised before Sunday week's draw. And then you start to think to yourself, wait a minute, Martin O'Neill's exit. So he's got information here that the FAI has decided in principle that his five-year reign should come to an end right here, right now. Well, they decided that in principle, and they decided that in practicality. That was only a couple of hours ago after what has been a pretty miserable 12 months for Martin O'Neill, for Roy Keane, for the men's national team. And it's ended in this. Gary Breen, I'm delighted to say, joins us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Gary.
Good afternoon, chaps.
So what's your take on this? It's hardly surprising. Maybe the timing to a certain extent is kind of surprising, but really it was going to end one way or the other. What's your general feeling at the moment? Is it sort of a wistfulness at the sort of highlights we had, or is it sort of like about time?
I think my initial reaction when I got the news I was out of the house wasn't one of surprise, perfectly honest, because I felt the relationship between Delaney and O'Neill was that strong that he'd be given the opportunity to try and address the team's failings. Whether or not he was capable of doing it remains to be seen. But I believe that that relationship, the contract that was signed, would enable him to stay on until the Euro qualifiers. But it's been a big development in terms of what's actually happened over the course of this year. And people have identified that it's since that Denmark drubbing. But I think we were pretty much akin to what was happening throughout that campaign. There were some massive highs, of course, there was, in terms of the Wales win as such. But there were some performances that left a lot to be desired.
The way it's happened today, it seems that Martin O'Neill it's been a mutual agreement. He stepped away from his post rather than being fired. That seems to be the terminology we're getting here. Is there sort of a sense of Martin O'Neill performing some sort of damage limitation on his own reputation and the future of his own managerial career here?
Well, I think obviously the first thing you'll do is you go to your bosses for support in terms of the criticism he's receiving and seeing if they still believe in him as such. But I think what is evident, and this is something you'll see in the whole of professional football, is that initially the supporters turn on the players. Then they go after the manager and nothing seems to really change. As soon as the supporters and the criticism starts going towards the hierarchy in terms of chairman, decision makers, very quickly then the decision's made. And it seems that that's been the case, that the fallout in terms of this dream team and the relationship they've had with the Irish supporters, who have shown such apathy towards the Irish team now, to be perfectly honest, in result of what they've witnessed, that as soon as that criticism came for Delaney, this decision looks to have been made.
Gary, it seems like over the last 12 months we've heard more than the previous 4 years about O'Neill talking about the players' limitations and how they weren't as technically gifted as other groups of players in different qualifying groups. Do you get the sense that maybe that can get into a player's psyche? Do you get the sense that maybe they stop playing for O'Neill?
I don't believe that group of players ever stop playing for the team, because bearing in mind they're putting on the green jersey, it means everything to them. So whether or not they're playing for the manager is irrelevant, really. You're playing for your country. But I think certainly when you continually hear that, and if I was a player and I was continuing hearing it and I was looking at what the manager was actually doing in terms of organising us, he may well be identifying that the players lack quality in terms of what they're producing on the pitch. But I think I'd counter that by saying that Martin O'Neill, for all his success as a manager, lacked quality in terms of what he was producing on the training field in terms of getting that team organised. And I think that would be the biggest frustration, because I was a massive admirer of Martin O'Neill in terms of his management, especially, I know everyone properly talks more about the Celtic days, but for me it was the Leicester days. It was a team that I was playing against in the Midlands for Coventry. He got them promoted out of the Championship, and then they went on to win League Cups, and they were so impressive. And then he obviously goes to Celtic, goes to Villa, and we've seen the problems Villa have had since he left then. But I always felt, and I was consistent with this, that I didn't think international football was suited for Martin O'Neill. And the reason why is because I think his skill set, which was a brilliant one at club level, was one, his motivational skills. People talk about it, any players who talk about it, but I don't understand how you need to be motivated to play for your country. I don't think any of those players who have served under him over 5 years will have needed to be motivated putting that green jersey on. And I think another thing of what is a real skill set of his was his player recruitment, getting in experienced players, problem solvers. And all of those attributes are redundant in international football, because you don't have to motivate and you have to deal with what you've got. Coaching people, that's the key element. I don't think he'd done it particularly well.
So it sounds like that the future of Martin O'Neill isn't going to be too dictated by what happened over the last couple of months, or maybe it will. Maybe people will just see the face value of the results and the poor performances, but you think that there's still a club future here for O'Neill?
Oh yeah, quite. Yeah, without a doubt. I think there'll be clubs who will come looking for him. I think his success at club level proves that, and he may well have the energy to go again. He might be the kind of manager who doesn't want to end on a particular low as such, but yeah, I would expect people to come looking for him. I'd expect people to come looking for Roy Keane as well. I think people have said that this is the end of their coaching managerial careers. I don't see that for one moment. They're two of our most famous footballing sons, huge experience, but it just hasn't worked out for this Irish team.
What do you think the view is of the manager of the Republic of Ireland team right now? Is it a poison chalice, you think? Like, you look at some of the names, the wild names being linked. You take someone like Sven-Göran Eriksson or Neil Lennon or someone like that, people who've had very successful careers in the UK and in Europe, from Sven-Göran Eriksson's case at club level. Like, do they look at the Ireland job and they think, not for me now? They look at the criticism that Martin O'Neill got and they think, it's not for me. They look at the players and they say, it's not an ideal job. Or do you think that the FAI still have the potential to go and recruit some top-class managerial talent if, for example, they overlook the likes of Stephen Kenny?
Listen, this is a job that loads of Irish men will want coaches, managers. There's no doubt about that. Let's not belittle this job in any aspect. The reason that Martin O'Neill has struggled is because he just didn't do the right coaching with these players. He didn't believe in the players. But there'll be a manager who will come along now and say, well, listen, I can coach these players. I can produce a team out of this group of lads. And I think that's the key point, is that these players, and I'm under no illusions, this is not our strongest depth in terms of the quality we've had over the last decades, but they're capable of so much more than what they've done and what they've seen. And I think any manager would be desperate for this Ireland job.
Gary, tactically, what do you think is the best way to get the best out of these players? O'Neill seemed to rely on being defensively organised without much of a discernible offensive plan. What would you do to get the best out of the group he has at the moment?
Well, I'd counter that what you said. I don't think we were defensively organised. And I know that people will say it was a strong defensive performance away in Denmark. I didn't think it was. I thought it was numbers, sheer numbers blocking the pass. I didn't see any trigger points to engage. I thought our midfield unit was right on top of our defensive unit, couldn't get out. The very fact that Lasse Schürrle, Eriksson, and I know these are good players, but they were able to sit in a pocket and dictate because there's no one pressing them. So I believe that whatever tactics are chosen, and I'm not a purist in terms of it has to be expansive football. It just has to suit the group of players you have. And the key point of that is, whatever tactics you choose, you have to drill it into the training ground and you have to nail it down so everyone of those players knows what their role is and what their teammates' role is. And from that point on, then you can look to influence games.
Who's the next manager for you, Gary?
Well, I don't know. I think the dust has to settle a little bit in terms of who's available. I can see straight away the likes of Mick McCarthy. I've seen Nathan say it's a nostalgia appointment. I don't believe in nostalgia at all. I think he's done a brilliant job initially. I think time has been better to him, because I think ultimately, the reason he lost his job was a popularity contest that you're not going to win against the Manchester United captain. I don't think it was a case of how poorly the team were playing as such. I know we started that campaign poorly, but we were able to recover. We would have done. So I know that the likes of Stephen Kenny, for his body of work, what he's done in League of Ireland, will be obviously touted. I'll be interested to see whether or not, and I wouldn't be the type who says just because he's managed at that level, he can't do it for the Irish team. I wouldn't believe that at all. The only thing I would say is, how would he cope with the intense in scrutiny that you get being a national team manager? That would be interesting to see. But nevertheless, I spoke to players who've played under him. They spoke very highly of him. So it'd be fascinating now. I think the timing has not been great. I think we've wasted an opportunity during this Nation League. I've seen other teams develop and bring younger players through to prep them for this next campaign. I think the very fact that the under-21 job's available as well is brilliant, because I think now we may be able to marry the two in terms of whoever gets that job can have an influence or such with the national, with the first team. Whoever's in charge of the first team can play a role in the under-21s. I think that's been ignored and that's been to our failings. I know that England have a far superior pool to us, but look at the benefits that Southgate has had in terms of bringing those under-21 players and the momentum that's been created there. I know the bigger teams in Europe do it. The reason we did in it was a disgrace, really, that our management duo, for all their experience, all their quality, played no role in the underage group.
Yeah, just one last thing. I just see Sam Allardyce is third favourite for this job at the moment. And like Sam Allardyce, you have to have, obviously, in all the markets for any absent managerial role. He's just almost a novelty value. I'm kind of worried looking at the price of 10-1 that he's third favourite for this, that there might actually be some realistic possibility of this. Like, I'm not sure about you. Am I being too negative around Sam Allardyce there? Like, it just seems that when you talk about the holistic approach that is really required from this next Republic of Ireland manager, that Sam Allardyce probably isn't that guy. He probably isn't the guy who's going to care about the under-21s or the future of the underage setup in Ireland.
Well, it depends what his remit is when he's given the job. I don't think as a manager, you come in, you dictate that I'm only going to look after the seniors. I think Martin O'Neill said that initially when he came on, that I'm not going to look at the younger players because I'm being judged on the first team. Well, lo and behold, he's there 5 years. Those players he should have been working for could quite comfortably have come through and would have been part of his squad. In terms of Sam Allardyce, he's more forward thinking than a lot of people think. That direct football, he's very organised, coaching-wise, how he structures everything. And in terms of his qualities as a manager, I don't think we'd be let down as such. But whether it's a natural fit for Ireland remains to be seen.
Nice one, Gary. Thanks a million for that.
Thanks, lads.
Gary Breen there on the line. You can tweet us at Off the Ball if you've got any comments. You can comment as well on Facebook or on YouTube if you happen to be watching us that way. So we've got a couple of polls to get to. That's what we want to do next. We've asked you 4 questions on our Twitter account, whether or not this was a good decision, who should be the next manager. The first one there, as you can say, was it a good call? 91% say yes. 9% say no. Yes, our viewers are saying that it was a good decision. Next up, who should be the next manager? And Stephen Kenny is leading the way with 54% of the vote, Mick McCarthy with 26%, Sam Allardyce with 9%, and then 11% voting for others. There is a couple of other names in the mix. Next up then, the highlight of the Martin O'Neill time in charge, Robbie Brady's goal against Italy at Euro 2016, winning that one, 56%. Shane Long against Germany getting 40% of the vote, and beating Bosnia was a 3% vote. I suppose nobody could see it through the fog, as Darren was saying off air, which is the main reason for that. And then the low light, there have been plenty of them, and winning it was a 5-1 win for Denmark at the Aviva Stadium this time last year. 67%, 19% voting for Wales 4, Ireland 1, 12% voting for the nil-all draw the other night between Ireland and Northern Ireland, and 2% going for the other one. Darren, you were making the point that Ireland, Northern Ireland really was the low point of their tenure.
Yeah, it certainly felt like it, because it wasn't the fact that it was a nil-nil draw or the fact that we were played pretty much off the park that night. It was how predictable it was, that everyone who went to the ground, everyone who turned on the TV knew what they were getting. It was that absence of hope, I think, that was more soul-destroying than the actual result. Gary made a really good point there about, you know, it doesn't have to be an exciting, open, expansive brand of football. It just has to be something that gets results. And one of the moments there on that got 40% was the Shane Long goal, which, if you remember, was the dictionary definition of Route 1 football. Long punt to the keeper, arrives at Shane Long's toe, and he finishes in. So I wouldn't have any problem if we had a manager who decided that Route 1 was the way to go. I would like to see Stephen Kenny, though, because he is a guy who tries to make his players play football. A
couple of comments coming in. Stephen Kenny would be mad to take the job, says Jerry Barron. Neil Keegan saying, the Ireland job is one to be avoided for a top level or on the up manager, not only on the pitch, but imagine working for Delaney. The delusions of grandeur amongst Irish football fans is hilarious. Cormac Sheehan says Tony O'Donoghue will be relieved.
You have to give John Delaney a little bit of credit here, because the FAI get an awful lot of stick sometimes, but they've acted in a very, very timely manner. They saw the signs that this was not working out. They could have argued their point for giving O'Neill an extension or allowing him at least the Euro 2020 qualifiers, but they've acted with haste. They've decided to act in the best interest of Irish football. So I think some of the shots at Delaney today are a little bit cheap. I think, in fairness to him, he has made the right call.
Delaney is the major problem. Should be heads rolling from the top down, says another comment. Big Sam for me, says Colin Rogers. That was Fran O'Connor who mentioned Delaney there. Lang says, need new blood, not bringing back managers that were there before. He's in relation to Big Sam there with the vomiting emoji. Pretty strong stuff there from Enda. Darren Bridgman says, get Brendan Rodgers in. Martin Furlong says, it'll go down as a successful.
That's a great shout.
It's not a bad shout.
If you want to talk about inspiring man managers, Rodgers is that man.
Yeah.
There's probably a shelf life on what he does. It's probably 2 or 3 years. But one campaign, make the players believe they're world beaters, make them believe they can achieve. That is a very, very good shout.
Yeah. Kind of. I don't know, Brendan Rodgers does unfairly get tired with a bad rush sometimes.
But it's just that envelope shite with Liverpool.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the thing that dictates a lot of opinion. Martin Furlong says, it will go down as a successful tenure that ran past its sell-by date. It happened with Charlton and Ulster Trap, and it's happened with O'Neill as well. Oliver Farry says, a few memorable results and a decent Euro 2016. It was pretty clear from the Serbia match in 2016 on through that we were not progressing. Squandering qualification from the easiest group we'll ever get should have been enough to disbar him from a new contract.
Sorry, the easiest group, Serbia.
That's what he's saying. Well, the thing is, there wasn't... Serbia were at one seed. You had Austria and Wales in there as well.
We were fourth seed in that group.
Yeah, we were.
So like, he's overachieved. Like, there's a recency bias here where the last 12 months were so grim, it's hard to look past them. But O'Neill and Keane gave us some brilliant nights. I think we all would be in agreement that the time was right to act. But it's unfair to tarnish what he did or to belittle the achievement of making it to the playoff, no matter how badly it went in that playoff.
Well, let's put that to Luke Edwards at the Daily Telegraph. He's standing by. Good afternoon to you, Luke.
Good afternoon.
So is it fair to say that overall there was plenty of overachievement, but also plenty of underachievement from Martin O'Neill during his time as Republic of Ireland manager?
I think what's just been said probably perfectly encapsulates it for me. I think it would be a disservice. I think it would be almost insulting to forget that for 4 years, I think that Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane did overachieve. I think the Euro 2016, yes, that was the highlight. Wonderful, you know, we will all remember the wonderful night against Italy, but also the win against Germany, qualifying ahead of Scotland, winning the playoff against Bosnia. Those were great times. The first 2 years were fantastic, really, that whole qualification campaign. Yes, things fizzled out a little bit. I think it got harder. You know, the senior players are that little bit older in the World Cup qualifying campaign. We can't forget they drew in Serbia in that opening game. They won in Austria away and they beat Wales away, you know, dramatic fashion to score that playoff place. I think things probably went sour, really, with the playoff defeat to Denmark and just the nature of it. And I think that kind of hammered home the limitations of the team a little bit. I think they lost a lot of confidence. The players and lost a lot of confidence in that. I think people in Ireland, I might be speaking out of turn, but I think the wider public began to lose a little bit of confidence in Martin's methods then, because managers are always live and die by results. You know, nobody cared when he handed in the team sheet when they were winning, but as soon as you start losing games, people start to pick holes in your methods and your tactics and et cetera, et cetera. That's the nature of football. The last year has been pretty grim. And yeah, I sort of agree. I think I've just written today in the Daily Telegraph, which should be online now, that it sort of feels like the right time to go for everyone. Because I think the Irish team need to be galvanised, they need to hear a new voice, they need a sort of fresh injection of optimism, just some new ideas, just a new narrative around the team. And I think Martin probably needs to be reinvigorated himself by taking on a new challenge. So it feels like the right time to bring it to an end. I think, you know, I sort of loosely agree with that. I still think they'd have had a good chance of qualifying if Martin and Roy had stayed in charge. I think it's an extremely tough job for whoever comes in, because they're going to find all the same problems. And the fundamental problem with the Irish team at the moment is they don't have any creative flair going forward, and they don't have a goal scorer. And if you're lacking those two things, you're going to struggle. And they've still got that defensive resilience that they've always had over O'Neill. We saw that in Denmark the other day. But they just haven't got anyone to score goals, and they don't look like scoring goals. And the problem with international football is, you can't just go out and buy one. You can't magic that up. If there's no one available, then there's no one available. And that is a huge problem going forward.
Do you have any idea if Martin O'Neill was taken by surprise by what happened this week? Like, technically it's put down as a mutual agreement, him stepping away. He did say earlier this week he was still very enthusiastic about continuing in the role, but obviously a conversation has happened with John Delaney and that's changed. Could you explain to us what's actually happened over the last 48 hours or so?
I think, to sum it up, I think the FAI and John Delaney in particular have got a little bit nervous. I think there was shows of dissent towards them again. I think that flared up. And to be fair to them, they've watched the performances over the last year or so. There's, you know, only 31,000 people turning up to the Northern Ireland friendly. I think that's their alarm bells ringing. I think there was a sudden shift, and we've seen this before with John Delaney and the FAI went with. The pressure turns to them, when the focus turns to them, when the abusive chants start, when were banners confiscated in Denmark. I think Martin O'Neill became a very convenient human shield. I think he did the same with Steve Staunton, didn't he? And then even getting rid of Trapattoni. So I think it has come. There has been a sudden shift, but Martin's been in the game a long, long time. And I think he probably sensed there was a shift behind the scenes. And I think he probably had wind that this might be coming. Probably last week, perhaps. I don't know that for sure, but I think that he got a sense that the support from the FAI was on the wane, and that John Delaney would act out of self-preservation. And whatever you think about the decision and the timing of it, the FAI have acted, and I think it probably will take the pressure off them, because when you bring in a new manager, it gives that illusion that it's a new era, doesn't it? And you know, a fresh voice and fresh optimism. But ultimately, the long-standing problems in Irish football are going to remain.
Luke, just a final one. Did you think O'Neill ever recovered from the Denmark game? Because I know you wrote afterwards that he wasn't only struck by the manner of the defeat, but the reaction and the vitriol to the defeat.
Yeah, I do think that stung him, actually. I think you're right. It was the reaction. I mean, I remember that the post-match press conference, and it was. Not necessarily people from the written media, my colleagues in the written media, but there were people in there who asked some quite ridiculous questions, really. Very harsh questions, very hostile questions. And I think what we said at the top of this, for the first 4 years, at that point, to lose in a World Cup playoff, I don't think Martin O'Neill in any way, shape or form thought he had failed. I think that game went badly and he knew that. And I think he probably, when the dust settled, realised he made some mistakes chasing the game so early at 2-1 down at the half-time. But I think the reaction to it, I think that did sting him. And I think he thought, well, actually, we've had that great Euro 2016. We've got to remember as well that if that goal against Austria stood, the winning goal in injury time, when it should have stood, they would have qualified top of the group ahead of Serbia. So these are all thin lines. They're all ifs and buts. I know that. But I think he was struck that the tone of the criticism was harsh and severe. And I think that maybe soured things a little bit for him, and maybe we've seen a little bit of that hangover in the last year. And I know he tried to come back after the World Cup and be more positive, but as soon as results were bad, it's just it's the nature of the beast, isn't it? I mean, in football, if results turn bad, everything's questioned about a manager, and that's what's happened this year. And I think you're right. I think probably the turning point was that 5-1 defeat to Denmark, the reaction to it, and the hangover from that, and that sort of lingered on. I don't quite see how he was going to turn that around.
Luke, thanks a million for taking the call. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Luke Edwards there of the Daily Telegraph. Now to go to another former Irish international, it's Kevin Kilbane on the line. Kevin, how are things?
Hi, Owen. How are you keeping?
Not too bad at all. Like, I was going to ask you if you're surprised by the timing of this. I don't think any of us are actually surprised by the fact that he has departed, but perhaps the FAI acted a little bit sooner than we expected.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Usually after a campaign, you let it digest, you let it settle for a week or two, and then you can make your decision going into or approaching the Christmas time. So yeah, it's happened quicker than probably I'd imagine, but that suggests that this has been on the cards for the last couple of weeks, the negativity going into the Northern Ireland game after the Nations League defeat to Wales, and of course that really poor performance against Denmark at home. I think that's probably speeded things up. I think that's probably why it has happened. So as I said, this has been on the cards for a number of weeks, certainly within the FBI. That's what it suggests to me, I suppose, yeah.
Do you think there's one performance that really stuck out to the FAI and they decided they had to act? Luke there mentions the poor performance at Northern Ireland the other day, or the poor attendance, I should say, and the poor performance at the Aviva Stadium the other day, which forced the FAI to act.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that poor performance, poor attendance against Northern Ireland as being a major factor. Personally, that's the way that I would think. We've all sat here over the course of the time, certainly with Off the Ball, and we've analysed the games. This has not been over the last two or three games. This has not been a poor attendance against Northern Ireland that's influenced the FAI's decision. This has been a slow decline since Euro 2016. That's the way that it's been. I think we had it the other night. I think we've played 18 games. I think it is. That's right. Certainly in the last 18 games anyway, since 2016, we've only won two games. We've only scored two goals only once in that 18 games. That says it all to me. I think really we're not having chances in matches. I looked at it over the last couple of days about the amount of chances we've created across the course of the Nations League, and we're simply not creating any chances. That's the thing that's alarming. It's in our faces. We can all see it. The performances haven't been good enough, and we're not necessarily saying against some of the better sides, where we understand fully as football supporters that we're watching a side that's playing against much better opposition, much better players. We might need to play a certain style. We're playing the same style against Northern Ireland. We know the performance against them. Denmark, who I simply am not having, that they are five goals better than us or four goals better than us when they beat us last year. I don't think they're a great side, and I'll stand by that. And that's been proved in the last few games we've played against them. They're not a great side. And yet we're making them look like a very, very good side or a top world side, and they simply aren't that.
Dan McDonald of the Irish Independent also joins us on the line this afternoon. Dan, how are things?
How are things, lads?
This was fairly telegraphed from this morning, I dare say, and then the FAI suddenly acted this afternoon. Talk to us about the decision that the FAI made and sort of the financial implications of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to be decided, I suppose, or maybe to come out in due course, what sort of settlement was reached. I mean, there was a bit of chat in Denmark. I mean, some of it was effectively pub talk, you know, that maybe there was word going around that change was coming. But at the same time, you're trying to counter that against some of the, the statements that have been made previously from Martin O'Neill and maybe even from the FAI around the start of the year, which suggested that they had their man and they were sticking with him. So it's still a bit of a surprise, I have to say. I mean, I sort of heard Darren there make a reference to the FAI taking assertive action, and I heard that might be a sort of a construed as a positive. But unfortunately, we've been down this road before where they've taken assertive, action to correct mistakes that they've made, which were flagged and highlighted very clearly at the time, which would have presented difficulty down the track. And we'll see what the cost to Irish football is. I can't imagine Martin O'Neill would have left for free, put it like that. So, the decision to, extend the deal last year around the time of the Stoke thing, it just reminds me a lot of the Giovanni Trapattoni's campaign too far, except this time he didn't necessarily get to go through the full campaign. But that generally makes the cost of letting someone go that bit more substantial.
You've been on the beat for the entire duration of his reign. You were at pretty much every press conference. How has the mood of Martin O'Neill changed throughout the years? Was there a certain point when you realised, OK, things have clearly soured here, the criticism is clearly starting to get to him, and the performances aren't really warranting his inclusion as Ireland manager for much longer?
I'm not even sure if the tone even dramatically changed, because within his first campaign, and he did make this point on Monday evening in Denmark, which, turned out to be his last sort of press conference as Ireland manager, a little huddle with the newspapers afterwards, where I think that the question was put to him, would you have a message to your critics, people who have been criticising the team, in the recent times over the past year. And O'Neill lifts, quivered a small bit, and he said, well, I've actually had criticism for all of my time here. There's been a continuity with that, going back to the draw with Scotland in June 2015. And that was the thing, that even when Ireland qualified for the Euros, even on the good days, the really good days, the Bosnia game and the Germany game, and even within the Euros itself, there was a sort of a defiance from O'Neill that he'd shut people up at that point. So really, that sort of chippiness had been there throughout. So I'm not saying that there's been a dramatic change at any point where you go, well, this is it. I think, after Denmark, it was obviously particularly grim. After the 5-1, there was a conscious attempt during the summer by O'Neill, I think the FBI, to try and improve public image and relations and, one-on-one interviews with every newspaper. and you know, an attempt to say, okay, things were a bit tense before, but let's be positive about the future here. And yet, then the games happened, and you know, the games made it harder to keep up that facade. And sure enough, by Monday we were back to where we were last year, and that was the thing. We were just stuck in this cycle, and even as Luke said it there, who would have been, you know, a sort of firm supporter of Martins, I think it's fair to say, I'm not representing Luke's position, but even from people on that side of things, there was a sense that this fatigue has just worn everyone down.
Kev, Mick McCarthy has been installed immediately as odds-on favourite to become the next Republic of Ireland manager. I wonder, is it a nostalgia appointment that has been suggested by Nathan earlier on in the show, or I wonder, is this the correct appointment?
Well, Mick McCarthy's very, very good. That's the way that I would see it. Now, who is he going to bring in his backroom team if he were to be appointed? I think it would be a great appointment if he were to introduce a Robbie Keane or someone like that of that ilk, a Lee Carsley. Personally, I would love Lee Carsley to be involved. You know, I think if we're serious about coaching our younger players, I think we have to get the best Irish player that we have got available, or certainly one of the best, and he is considered one of the best that's coaching within the system over in England right now. And I would like to go with him, whether that be on the 21 level or maybe being that link between senior international level and youth football under 21 level. I could see a role for him in that one. Yeah,
totally agree. Would Carsley actually go for it, though, is the only thing? Would it actually, in a weird way, be a step down unless one day if he became Republic of Ireland manager? I don't think that'd be a step down, but say an assistant role or an underage role from his really lucrative job and really successful job he's doing at Manchester City.
Well, no, Lee's with the English FA now.
The English FA, sorry. When did he leave Manchester City last year?
He did leave Manchester City, yeah. No, I don't know if he would go for it. But no, the problem being, Owen, is this, though. Whether he wants the job or not, right, if he turns the job down, but if we are serious about where we're going with our structures within the FAI, within our football system, why don't we go and get the best? We've constantly spoken about the best coaches, the best the people that we need involved within our structures. Why not go and get the best? And he is the best. He is simply the best. He's considered one within the structure over within the UK as one of the very best. We've got a player that's got an inside track on what the FA are doing, which would be great for us, I think. I think he could bring that to the FBI, that we could actually help develop our structures going forward as well. I don't think it'd be a bad thing at all. In relation to Mick McCarthy, I personally think it'd be a good appointment. I think Stephen Kenny would be a good appointment. But the one thing that Stephen Kenny, and I've heard you like talking about it earlier, and the one thing that Stephen Kenny has not been spoken about, he would have to prove himself to the players. I mean, and as bad as that sounds, is that I've heard you like talking about, let's get League of Ireland players involved, and I've heard maybe calls coming in and things like this as well, that the step up from League of Ireland to international football is too great. And we've seen it from lads that have gone over to play over in England in recent years. The best players in the League of Ireland over the last 4 or 5 years have invariably gone over to play in England, and they haven't necessarily been a success. I'm not saying that they won't be a success and they don't have the ability to play international football, but the step up from League of Ireland to international football is too big a gulf. It's too big a jump in my mind. For Stephen Kenny going in there, he would still have to prove himself to the players. He's on an even keel coaching-wise with Michael O'Neill, with what he's done with Northern Ireland. I think you're going in. Michael O'Neill has proved himself. Initially, he wasn't getting the results with Northern Ireland, but he transformed the whole system and he started to get the results. Then he started to get performances out of the players. I've watched Northern Ireland through this campaign. You look at it on paper, you'll think they've lost every game. But I tell you what, now they have played brilliantly in every single game I've seen them, and they're actually enjoyable to watch. That can't be said against us. We're not winning games, and we're totally, we're poor to watch. That's the way that I would see it. We've not been playing in any good football anyway at all. I don't see any sort of style, any sort of pattern that we've got. We say, heard you like talking about a direct style. I wouldn't mind playing a direct style if we're actually doing that. We're not even playing a direct style. We've got no style about us. We've got no method to how we're going out and playing. That's the thing that I'm looking at. So if Stephen Kenny were to take the job, I think he'd have to go in immediately and make an impression on the players on the training ground straight away.
Kev, O'Neill has kind of made the point over the last year, and he's probably laboured it a bit, that the resource and the players at his disposal don't match the expectation of the Irish soccer public. Does he have a point in saying that? Is he right?
No, our players are underachieving. Look at the players that we've got, and we referenced it in relation to Northern Ireland of the night. I looked at the two sets of players of the night against Northern Ireland, and we have got better players than Northern Ireland, yet they outplayed us for the whole game. We played a style that was conservative well, to say the least. It wasn't even if we're playing a containment role with a view to actually go and counter attack that style, we didn't do that. So yes, I think Northern Ireland aren't as good a side of us, yet they actually played us off the pitch and made us look totally inadequate. So I think our players are underachieving. I think we have to be realistic that we probably don't have the players that we maybe had 20, 30 years ago. I think we know that. But our players still aren't playing to the level that they're capable of playing.
Dan, just get your thoughts on that, what Kev said a few moments ago about a potential next Ireland manager or the potential next Irish management ticket. It's interesting that the likes of Lee Carsley and Robbie Keane are mentioned there by Kev. It's a realistic possibility. It's been mentioned over the last couple of weeks, particularly in Robbie Keane's case. And reading between the lines in some of the reports, I think you've had a few stories on it, it seems that he's very interested in it himself to be involved at some level with the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, what is the next step for Robbie Keane now? I mean, I know he was obviously, keeping fit and after a stint in India, and there was a suggestion he was going to, maybe try and keep playing as such. But, certainly in the context of the under-21 job, he was being mentioned. Now, I don't think really, I was never sort of getting the belief or the vibe that he would be the manager of the 21 side, that he could be working as part of an under-21 setup, maybe alongside someone else. And maybe now it's a situation where this just translates to the senior job, and that someone like Robbie is available, he's in the area, he wants to go down that route of coaching and management, and he would have a good relationship with someone like Mick McCarthy. So I can see how that debate happens, and I can see how that argument is raised about Lee Carsley too. And as Kev mentions, he's someone who's really well thought of. And I guess, we need to figure out, what the FEI wants now. I mean, there's two strands to this sort of succession race here, because on one hand you have Euro 2020, like Ireland's next games, I think, regardless of what happens, I think with the draw and what size group we're in, like in March, Ireland are going to have competitive games, to try and get to a tournament that they really need to qualify for. And the way the draw rolls, you could suddenly be playing a top seed or a big game. And do you want someone learning on the job in that game, or do you want the tried and trusted? Now, see, the point about Stephen Kenny, I mean, I think Stephen Kenny is well capable of managing Ireland, and I think he'd be a really progressive appointment. But I think Kev does make a good point with regard to, say, Michael O'Neill. The Michael O'Neill was given the time of a difficult campaign, effectively, at first with Northern Ireland, to bet into the job. And Stephen Kenny, I think, can be Ireland manager. I've no doubt about that. But the argument is, has the last year been wasted when that could have been the opportunity to get someone in who maybe needs to get, to build a bit of a relationship, a rapport with players that might know, in some cases, wouldn't know a huge amount about them, although I still think Seamus Coleman and James McLean and some of the leading voices of the Irish dressing room, know what he's all about already. But this is the frustration that maybe a year has been completely wasted here that could have got a longer term appointment in place. And maybe now you might see a quicker fix because of what went before.
Mm. And the thing about that idea of familiarity with Stephen Kenny, because there is an argument there that perhaps the players wouldn't have the respect for Stephen Kenny, who'd been over in England for a long time. I don't know who he is. But then conversely, you look at the unbelievably high respect I'm sure they had for Martin O'Neill, and a lot of them definitely would have had for their hero, really, in Roy Keane. And look where that's got us. So maybe the time for the sort of hero symbol in the dressing room is over, and players, we need to treat them with a bit more respect than that, that they're actually knowledgeable people and they'll treat each coach on their merits as a coach.
Yeah, like this is it. I mean, Kev would have spoken about this, and various people on the show over the last while have said that, players will ultimately judge a guy by his first couple of training sessions or the impression that he makes, and, your reputation will count for so long. And clearly, with Roy Keane anyway, in particular, I mean, we've heard the WhatsApp message, we've heard the tone, the novelty of Roy Keane being around. The hero, the idol for a lot of Irish lads of a generation, that had faded dramatically. And yeah, I think, players will come to judge someone by the quality of their work. But, when you have sort of a manager who is, who is a very different way of doing things, you sometimes probably need that training camp, those friendlies, that opportunity to bring in a philosophy. I mean, it's possible that Ireland's next competitive game could come off the back of like 3 days preparation if it's Thursday, and it's a pressurised campaign here. So this is why perhaps the appointment, there could be the right appointment, and I said, you know, someone like Kenny, it could be complicated by the timing of how this has been handled and how the FBI, you know, really wanted Martin O'Neill in January and decided they didn't want him now when they probably knew in January the style that they were going to get for the period that followed. You commit to a year of transition, then you probably want the manager in charge that's going to be there for that period of transition. And what we've had is just a wasted year that might lead them into an appointment that may not be the best one.
Dan McDonald, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks.
You can read Dan's work in the Irish Independent tomorrow morning. Kev, just another point I wanted to put to you on that. Now that the FAI are in full recruitment mode, how wide should they cast the net? Should they interview more people than they actually feel are realistic candidates for the senior job? Because they might stumble upon a gem. They might find somebody who could fulfil a role at underage ranks or something like that. I'm talking former players. I'm saying that this is an opportunity now for the FAI to go out there and speak to people and invite people in. And if they're crap and if they've got no potential whatsoever as coaches, then so be it. It's only a waste of a little bit of time. But really now is an opportunity for the FAI to go out there and cast the net quite wide, I feel.
Oh, and let's be fair, we've got enough candidates. We have enough people that are very good coaches, first of all, very good managers that have managed at certain levels as well. So you can spread the net as wide as you want. That's the thing. You can cast it as far as you want. But the simple fact is it will probably still be coming back to the same old names over the next 2 or 3 months or however long it's going to take before 2 or 3 weeks, however long it's going to take for the appointment to be made. There are so many different points on it, so many different facets on this one and how we're going to do it. And Dan made the perfect point there before as well on it's whoever's going to come in, what we're going to do, we're going to give them time. The Michael O'Neill issue is the perfect one, really. Are we going to say, well, look, we're never going to be in a position where we're going to say we're going to write off a campaign, we're going to write off two campaigns, we're going to build over the next 4 years towards something that might be very special going forward. But can hear my dog there.
What's Maguire thinking? What's Maguire's thoughts on the Martin O'Neill departure?
Let's leave Maguire. We won't say what Maguire's thinking at the moment in time. We'll leave that one anyway. I think we have to, due diligence has to take course. I think we've got to see who we are going to, interview all possible candidates. I've heard Sam Allardyce mentioned. I've heard many, many names mentioned within this. Why not go and interview them? I need to take him off. why not go and see what these guys have got to say? Why not go and listen to what they've got to say? How are they going to implement a style of play? Because we simply haven't had a style of play. As I was saying before, we haven't. Mick McCarthy, I think, would be an excellent appointment personally. I think Stephen Kenny would be an excellent appointment. I think Sam Allardyce would be an excellent appointment. Again, it wouldn't necessarily go down in some quarters, but at least we'd have a structure in place and we'd have a strong manager in place who would be able to implement a style and would then try to filter through and try to get a style that's been implemented across the whole system. Because I think that's what the senior international manager's job responsibility is. So it has been dark days for our football, but hopefully we've got people in place, or we will get people in place, to try and implement a structure going forward for us now that's going to be positive.
Yeah, I understand you're back in studio with us tonight. Yourself and Brian Kerr are giving your takes in full tonight on who should become the next Republic of Ireland manager. Kevin Kilbane, thanks a million. And Maguire.
Cheers, lads. Thanks very much. Cheers, Neil. Cheers, Owen.
Cheers. So just a couple of more comments before we get to Leon Blanche to finish up. Nathan Summers asks, why isn't anyone mentioning Chris Hughton? I think Chris Hughton, he's got a pretty good job at the moment. I don't think he's anywhere near the hot seat there at the moment. I don't think he's in any trouble whatsoever. And I think if you're Chris Hughton, you're keeping your job in the Premier League at the moment. Maybe in the future. I think in the future he'd be a fantastic manager if that became a realistic possibility.
Maybe Stephen Kenny would be better off keeping his powder dry as well. Maybe the next appointment isn't the great one. Maybe it's the job after that.
Because you're in a crap Nations League pool as well in 2 years' time.
But absolutely, you get promoted back to League B. Sitting here for the last hour, Owen, it's just reminded me of the Dark Knight. Martin O'Neill's entire period in charge of the Republic of Ireland was exactly like the Dark Knight. You either go out a hero or you stay long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Well, that is deep, and it pertains to truth right there. That is very, very true. More Batman references coming very soon. More of your references coming now. Joe McCarthy says, whoever they hire, they can't give as large a contract as they gave O'Neill. We can't be in the position that we can't afford to sack a lame duck manager. Danny Byrne then says, nothing will change with the Ireland team until they restructure the FAI and provide funding at grassroots level and for Irish League teams. Delaney has to go, and how can anyone justify his salary? To put it into context, Delaney makes more than the head of the English FA. Liam P says, nah, Mick McCarthy for me, as he got the best out of young players who just had underage success like we have now. Stu says, more big names on massive wages. Stephen Kenny is a perfect fit. T4C on YouTube says Robbie Keane is a new striker, which isn't a bad shout. Kevin Phelan, tactics, training, man management, that belongs in the 90s and 2000s. Pity because it promised so much early on. Please, 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 not Big Sam. That's the first shout for Kevin Phelan. Derek O'Connor says, thank Christ, Stephen Kenny all day long. Michael O'Neill did not do half as well as Stephen, and look what he has done with Northern Ireland. Bring in Brian Kerr as number two. But as I say, Brian Kerr will be with us here in studio later on, giving his take on where Ireland should go. Right, Leon Blanche from our sponsor, Boyle Sports, is with us now to run through the latest odds on who will be the next Irish boss. Good afternoon to you, Leon. All right, Leon.
How are you?
Leon, okay? How's it going? Looking at these odds this afternoon, I'm just refreshing them over the past hour or so, and there's actually been a bit of movement in the market. What are you seeing?
Yeah, look, Stephen Kenny, I suppose, is the main mover. When we first priced it up, he was 6-1. He's now come in to clear 3-1 second favourite. McCarthy is still the even money favourite, same price as he was when we opened it up. And Big Sam has gone out a couple of points to 12-1 from 10-1. And in the last kind of 5 minutes, Sven-Göran Eriksson, God help us, we don't need him in charge of Ireland, but he's gone 16-1 from 20-1. Look, I've been listening to what you guys have been saying. I think if you look at Martin O'Neill, to be fair to him, up until that hammering by Denmark in the Aviva in the second leg of the World Cup playoff, he'd done a remarkable job. I mean, I thought he well overachieved in terms of Euro 2016. Very unlucky not to get to the World Cup. Obviously, with that playoff, we were terrible at home in the second half. But then, since the start of the UEFA Nations League and even those couple of friendlies, it's just been going downhill. And I do give the FAI a bit of credit. I think they made the decision to part ways quick. It was swift. And hopefully the next appointment, I think the whole country own, and I know you and I have spoken about this before, we just want to see a team that has a bit of direction, that we know what style of play we're going to play. At the moment, in the last couple of games, maybe the last five or six games, it's just been all over the place. So it's come at the right time, and hopefully we can make the right new appointment.
We've been speaking a little bit about some other potential appointments, not so much as manager, but as coaches and things like that. Like, I wonder how much movement you've seen there for the likes of Robbie Keane. I think he's kind of moved into like 25s or something like that, and he wasn't anywhere near that a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, look, I mean, Owen, to be brutally honest, it doesn't take an awful lot of money in these markets in terms of moving your position in the betting. Look, Robbie Keane, tremendous servant to Irish football. It'd be great to see him involved in maybe the under-21s as a coach to, you know, it's like to start off, maybe an assistant coach. I think you just got to look at the job that Gareth Southgate has done with England, to be fair. He put his foot in with the underage players. He got to know them. They got to know him. They trusted him. They believe in him. And you just see now what he's doing with the senior team. These players have moved on from 21s to now play at the senior level. So I think there's definitely something in that. Lee Carsley has built up a very, very good reputation as a decent coach. And maybe he can come back into the fold with whoever gets the main job. But I do think there is a big onus on whoever is the senior manager. You've got to be looking at the underage players. You've got to be seeing which ones are doing well, both at their clubs and, of course, representing their country. But I agree with Kevin in terms of when you looked at the Republic against Northern Ireland on Thursday night, there's not that huge difference. In actual fact, I think we've got better players than them, but they have a structure. They have a system. And they have a manager who's definitely coaching the players into believing into his system. So I don't think all is lost yet. We've got five or six Premier League players. Hopefully James McCarthy will be coming back. We need to get him a run of games injury free. We do have Robbie Brady coming back from a long injury. Doherty, Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy. We've got a very good goalkeeper in Darren Randolph. Yes, we have lost Robbie Keane, and it's going to be very, very difficult to replace him. But some of the young players, the likes of Robinson, hopefully Shawnee Maguire can stay injury free. I don't think it's all lost.
Sorry to put you on the spot here if you don't have it in front of you, but someone's just been in touch to ask what are the odds on Brendan Rodgers becoming next Ireland manager.
Brendan Rodgers, let me just check now at the moment.
Not a bad shout.
I'm getting about 66-1 here, Leon.
Yeah, that's what I'm just seeing now myself. But like, would he leave Celtic in the middle of a season? I think that's going to be the big question that we'd have to ask. He'd be a great appointment. I think people give him an awful lot of stick. I mean, he's come the closest to winning Premier League with Liverpool. He's done remarkable stuff with Celtic on a shoestring budget. He always sells his best players. And I still think they'll win the Scottish Premier League this year. It's a pity that our first game is coming in March. If it had been around the summertime, then I think Brendan Rodgers would have been a lot shorter than 66-1. But unfortunately, you've got to look at people who are available. Mick McCarthy's available. I definitely think Stephen Kenny is available. Sam Allardyce would be available. You've got the likes of Steve Bruce, who's available. Harry Redknapp, maybe when he comes out of the jungle, he might fancy a bit of football. He's 33-1. But I would love to see someone like Stephen Kenny get it, lads. I think what he's done with Dundalk has been nothing short of remarkable. And I think even when you watch Dundalk against some of the sides in Europe, they've gone toe-to-toe with them. They haven't been disgraced. They've played a good brand of football. And he's definitely a manager who makes players better. And I think our players are underperforming for the national team. So I think if someone like Stephen Kenny could come in, it would be a big risk, I think it's fair to say. But I think if you just look at what Michael O'Neill has done with Northern Ireland, having come from the League of Ireland, maybe it's not that big of a risk.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people will agree with you on that one, Leon. Leon, thanks a million for your time. I appreciate it.
All the best, lads.
Leon Blanche there with our football sponsor, Boyle Sports. He's back on the Friday Football Betting Show this week with John Duggan. A couple of images before we let you go. Kind of some happier thoughts for us right now, because there were some happy times with Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane in charge of the Republic of Ireland. Here's Robbie Brady after he scored that goal against Italy. There he is, nodding it past the keeper. Where were you when this happened?
I was in a
happy place.
Believe it or not, it was about 5 minutes before I had to read a bulletin on 98FM. So I went on 98FM, I completely hammed it up. It was a bit like Marty Morrissey's monologue at the start of the All-Ireland Hurling Final, but I completely hammed it up. It was full of joy and emotion, and I was just could not contain my happiness. That photo was just absolutely glorious.
And then the brief moment, of course, against France a couple of days later.
That was great.
Brought us so much joy.
Brilliant.
Robbie Brady again. And then Germany, of course, Shane Long. That was the runner-up in our poll of the happiest memories under Martin O'Neill. And Roy Keane.
Night the Aviva shook.
It literally shook. It was like, people say that the Aviva does look like a lopsided spaceship, but it actually looked like the spaceship was about to take off on that particular occasion.
The spaceship was definitely rumbling.
I think
rumbling
we got a picture from Bosnia that night as well. From Zeneca, wasn't it? When
I've seen all the images of Bosnia, but I can never make out what's going on in any of them.
Then James McLean in Cardiff, of course, another positive. A couple of comments just to wrap up. Somebody, Philip Cleason's been in touch to say McCarthy, Robbie Keane and Kevin Kilbane, the dream team. Graham Nolan has been in touch to say dwindling attendances are due to poor standard of football, and that's a big factor in sacking of O'Neill. Our supporters do not expect to win every game, but we do expect its team to at least have a go and not to get everyone behind the ball and rely on hoofball and free kicks. Niall Walsh says,
hoofball is fine. Hoofball bet Germany.
Yeah.
1-0. Like, people forget that. I think...
And directionless hoofball.
Kilbane made the point, though, that, you know, if you are defensively organised and you have a big target man to hit, like, I had no problem playing hoofball when Daryl Murphy was the guy we're trying to hit. Or you're trying to hit Shane Duffy at corners and free kicks. I think there is method to the madness, and set pieces are still a very, very fine way to score a goal. I don't think we should look down on them.
Niall Walsh says, I think the biggest casualty here could be Declan Rice. Up to this point, he may have felt some loyalty to O'Neill, but with O'Neill gone, it makes a clean path for Rice to declare for England. That is actually a very good point by Niall Walsh there, because it is the one saving grace of O'Neill over the last 2 months.
He's gone,
that Declan Rice has commented on the fact that O'Neill has not been persuasive, but has been very, very good about the whole thing. And I think you would want someone like O'Neill in your corner for that fight. I'm not denying the idea that he may be culpable in the idea that he may have got away in the first place. But I don't know, maybe the next manager that comes in, would you trust Mick McCarthy to try and get Declan Rice back on side?
Declan Rice will play for Ireland if he feels Irish, and if he feels more English, he'll play for England. I don't think the manager is material in this decision for him. I think it's great that O'Neill has a positive relationship with Rice and the father, and that he went to the house and gave them the big sell. But at the same time, I think Rice will make his decision irrespective of who is in charge of his team.
Imagine if the new Ireland manager and Declan Rice's decision happens on the same day. That would be one hell of a news day.
If Declan Rice has any sense about it, if he's going to drop some bad news bombs, I would do it that day. The day they say, we've got a new manager, then say, oh, by the way, I'm declaring for England. That would be the perfect way to get away without too much stuff being lobbed at you.
Yeah. Darren, thanks a million for your company.
Cheers.
You've given up like 14 bulletins to be with us for the last hour or so. There's more from Off the Ball across the day. We'll be back on air from 7 o'clock tonight. As I say, Brian Kerr will be in studio with Kevin Kilbane and Joe reacting to the big news. It's goodbye to Martin O'Neill and it's goodbye to Roy Keane as well. We'll be back on OTB AM from 7:45 AM tomorrow morning, myself and Ger. We'll chat to you then. Bye-bye for now.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.